Hello, this is Reverend Irvin. I'm so happy to greet you as we once again come and share together portions of our Sunday morning worship service, this one of January 13th, 1980. We certainly hope that the new year has gotten off to a good start for you. We know that, or we certainly believe that when we trust in God, let Him guide us and let Him supply our needs, then whatever comes, we can rejoice and give thanks, even though our outward circumstances may not be as pleasant as we'd like them. At any rate, we send you greetings. We pray God's blessing upon you, and we know that if you trust and if you keep close to Him during these days, that He will bless you richly. Now I want to invite our boys and girls and children to come for a moment. They would please. I'd like to have them all come. Come on down. We haven't been having very many, so we'll need to have every one of you. Guess you've been staying home on cold days, haven't you? Of course, today's not very cold. Nice to see all of you. And we'll talk to the ones that didn't come down, too, okay? Sometimes I have adults. Sometimes I have children. Boys and girls ask me questions about Jesus, about God, about religion, about church. And one of the questions they sometimes ask me is, where is God? Do you know where God is? Do you have any idea?
Up in heaven.
Up in heaven, yeah. He's there, isn't he? Anybody else have any idea where God is? You look around, you can't really see him, can you? Well, God is lots of places. And this morning I want to show you a minute one of the most important places that God can be found and where God lives, or at least where God can live. But God lives in nature. When we see a beautiful sunset, lots of people experience and feel that God is there. When we see somebody else happy and rejoicing, we think God is there too. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is spirit and is everywhere, kind of like the air, I guess. But let me show you one of the most important places where God is, and you're going to be surprised. I need to put my arm around these two beautiful young ladies and pick up something here. And you look right here. See? Who is that? Huh? Who is it?
Me.
Yeah, it's you. One of the things that the Bible tells us, that God is within us. And so there he is. That's one of the most important places that God is or can be in a human life, even in your life. See? Do you see God there? Well, he's there. When you smile, I know God is there. Thank you for coming this morning. Join out in our prayer, and we have you because we want to be a caring and praying and loving community. We have you make note of your prayer concerns, and if you have something in your heart, your mind, your spirit that you're especially concerned about, we'd like to know about it by having you just lift your hand for us. Would you do that kind for us, please? Now, if there is someone here who cares and wants to share a special concern, we'd be very happy to have them do so in these moments. Is there such a shared concern? Let us pray. Lord God, the light that does not fade, We worship you. O God, the light that does not fail, we praise you. We seek you in prayer, trusting that you have long been seeking us. As we do not seek the sun, but only open ourselves to its life-giving power, nor do we seek the air which we breathe, so we open ourselves to you. We've tried to content ourselves with things, well-housed, well-fed. We've tried to be satisfied, but sometimes there arises within a desire for the life that is abundant. We cannot live by bread and things alone, so we turn to you. We've tried to content ourselves with daily tasks. Some have absorbed themselves in toil, others in endless rounds of activity. But we ask wistfully from time to time, isn't there more to life than all of that? From all of our endeavors to live without you, good Lord, deliver us. Take our lives into your keeping and transform them. Take our suffering and pain, sometimes have rebelled against them, and have sometimes been embittered because of them. Kindle in our hearts a generous sympathy for the whole body of mankind. Take our energies and strengths. We're somewhat aware of the perilous times in which we live, so put our hands on some task of reconciliation. Place our shoulders to some labor of healing and redemption. Take the talents and the wisdom which you have graciously given us and dedicate them to your service. Help us to cling to you not only in our weaknesses, but let us make our powers and our energies and our gifts available to you also. And we ask, Father, that since we've taken the time and the effort to be a part of this worshiping community today, joining with others of kindred spirits and common aspirations, that you will do some high and important things in our individual lives. Help us to take to heart the needs and brokenness not only of ourselves, but of those around us as well. And now we lift in our prayers those people, those concerns which are in our hearts. We pray for the lonely, the ill, the perplexed, the sinful, the hurt, the joyful, the rich, the contented. Be present to guide and to help in all of our lives. And now as we wait in a silent moment, O Lord God, hear our meditations, hear our prayers. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's often heard sometimes on television or other places, a reporter asking someone who had been in trouble, perhaps, when was it that you first realized that help was on the way? Or sometimes a coach may ask, when was it that you first realized that the game was won? Some coaches have to ask, when was it the first time you realized that the game was lost? Someone is asked, when did you first realize that your life was empty? It's a rather familiar question in a way. When did you first realize something, whatever it was? Let me tell you about one man who first realized something. One morning, In 1888, Alfred Nobel, inventor of dynamite, who amassed a fortune selling weapons of destruction, woke up and read his own obituary in a newspaper. Now, it was a simple journalistic error. Nobel's brother had died, and a reporter carelessly reported the death of the wrong Nobel. To Nobel, the shock, however, was overwhelming, because in his obituary, he was able to see himself as the world saw him, the Dynamite King, who had amassed an immense fortune. And he, through the obituary, discovered that to the general public, this was the entire purpose of Alfred Nobel's life. He discovered that none of his true intentions were recorded or noted in the obituary he read. He was reflected there simply as a merchant of death. And for that alone, he would be remembered. So as he read his own obituary, he resolved to make clear his meaning and his purpose in life. He did this through the final disposition of his fortune. And his last will and testament became an expression of his ideals, ideals that he had somehow safely kept from the public around him. And the result has been the most valued of prizes given to people yearly for accomplishment in several fields, even in the quest of peace. Alfred Nobel had a dramatic moment when he first realized what people thought of him. Jesus had his moments when he first realized who he was. He went out one day to hear the fiery John the Baptist preach. And when the invitation was given for baptism, Jesus stepped forward to be baptized. Now, we don't know, at least I don't know, what the baptism represented in Jesus' own mind. But for whatever reason, he stepped into the water, and received baptism from John, by John. And at that moment, something happened. Luke says the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "Thou art my beloved Son. With thee I am well pleased." Whatever else it was a time of first realization for Jesus. Now, how important these moments are in our lives. For example, when did you first realize the majesty of God? Or are you awaiting that experience? Was it beauty? Was it in the grandeur of nature which that first realization came? Roy L. Smith tells about an aged scholar who spent a night atop a mountain with some of his students. And it happened that a little after midnight, two stars came into conjunction, which made a striking scene in the heavens. And the old man went excitedly from one sleeping bag to another sleeping bag, waking up the students, shaking them and shouting, "Get up, get up, don't miss it. Don't let God put on such a show for just this old man." Perhaps you realized the majesty of God when your first child was born. After all, there's no greater miracle than that, the birth of a new human being. And then we may conclude that there is more to life than mere physics and chemistry. Then we can know that behind creation, there is a creator. When was it that you first realized the majesty of God? When was it that you first realized your own inadequacies to deal with life? Or have you yet? We are inadequate, you know. There is much in life that we're not able to control. We do not know whether we shall be healthy tomorrow. We do not know that we will have loved ones tomorrow. We do not know whether or not our material wealth will amount to anything tomorrow. When was it that you first realized that you were inadequate to deal with life? Or have you yet? Dick Emmons wrote a humorous but rather plaintive verse, which was published in Golf Digest. He wrote, "I bought a set of brand new clubs and rushed out to the tee. The brand new clubs are really great, but I'm the same old me. I'm the same old me." Each of us could sing that refrain over and over again, couldn't we? We've got a world, we're a world of good intentions, but not much ever changes, does it? Now, it's not that we don't want to be better. It's not that we don't have the natural gifts to be better. But somewhere in our makeup, some vital element is missing. When was it that you first realized your own inadequacy? Perhaps it was in a time of crisis or of great disappointment. These things come to all of us. Sometimes we feel like the deep sea diver who had scarcely reached the bottom when a message came from the surface. The message said, "Come up quick, the ship is sinking." Maybe it was when you were, as we say, between a rock and a hard place, or on the horns of a dilemma. We've all been there. And the cry has come from our lips, either consciously or unconsciously, "Oh God." When was it that you first realized your own inadequacy? Perhaps it was in a time of personal tragedy. Maybe when a loved one lay ill. And remember, do you remember? All those promises and those resolves that you made if that loved one would just get better? If God would somehow intervene? Some of you, I'm sure, have seen the Burt Reynolds movie entitled The End. He creates a humorous scene at the conclusion of that film. Reynolds tries to drown himself. But after he gets way out into the ocean, he changes his mind, decides that he doesn't want to drown himself. And somehow he needs to get to the distant shoreline to save himself. And so he begins laboriously swimming toward the distant shoreline. And when a gigantic wave would overwhelm him, he'd make some kind of extravagant promise to God. "God, get me safely there, and I'll do." If only God would get him safely back to shore. And he made a whole bunch of very extravagant promises about what he was going to do if God would just step in and take care of him. But alas, as he gets closer and closer to the shore, to safety, his promises get less and less extravagant. And at last, he finally reaches the shore safely, and he cancels the whole agreement. Isn't that the way we do it too? "Lord, I need help. If you'll only help me, I'll be a better Christian. I'll do this." And then help comes. And we write it off. That's true with us, too. When did you first realize the majesty of God? When was it that you first realized your own inadequacy? And when was it that you first realized that you were a child of God?
Oh,
no, not in the same way that Jesus heard the voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son." His relationship to God was unique, and yet he taught us to pray, as we've already prayed today, "Our Father," which seems to mean that you too are a child of a king. C.S. Lewis, who many of you have read with profit and with joy, was not always a Christian. But he came one time to his moment of realization that he was a child of God, and he wrote, "That which I greatly feared had at last come upon me. In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted God was God, and knelt and prayed." Since then, C.S. Lewis has probably become the most effective apologist, defender of the Christian faith in the modern world. Someone wrote one time, "We dream alone, we suffer alone, we die alone. We inhabit the last resting place alone. But there's nothing to prevent us from opening our solitude to God." And so what was an austere monologue becomes a dialogue. Now, how is it with your life? Is it still an austere monologue? Are you still an orphan in a homeless world? Need not be. Life can be a rich and wonderful dialogue between yourself and the God who created you and now calls you his child. In 1951, some doctors in the Ohio penitentiary wanted to make an experiment. They believed that an operation on a certain area, part of a man's brain, might change him and rid him of criminal tendencies. They finally found a prisoner who would submit to the operation. But it failed because the man was released from prison later, but he was soon back in for committing a crime. In order for a person to be changed, we can't do it by an operation. In order for a person to be changed, he has to have a change of heart. And these moments of realization, these ones that we've been trying to suggest, these are gifts which God gives us to help us make that change of heart. But oh my goodness, how many of them we miss, perhaps daily. But God is one of the world's worst wastrels in his love for us. And he keeps right on sending these moments when we could realize. He keeps right on sending them, some painful, some beautiful. And these are the important ones for us to realize our inadequacy and to realize the majesty and the adequacy of God. When did you first realize the majesty of God? When did you first realize your inadequacy to deal with the issues of life? When was it that you first realized that you were God's own child? Perhaps for some, it has just happened. Let us pray. Well, Lord our Father, thank you for sending to us so many opportunities, so many blessings, so many circumstances, so many coincidences, so many answers to prayer that we might come to realize who we are and who you are. O Lord, our Father, speak to us not only in words which are holy, but speak to us through all of life's experiences And may they help us to realize, maybe for the first time, who you are, who we are, and what you expect of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Amen.